Warning: the following episode of Orsini's Uncensored Mind contains explicit language and adult content. The thoughts and opinions stated on the show are reflective of A.J. Orsini and his guests exclusively. But seriously, guys, the show is called Uncensored. If you got a problem with bad language, I really don't give a shit.
In 2005, A.J. was down in Florida getting a tan with Dixie Carter while I was here facing The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Oh, damn!
And you're right, I did come from the Indies, and I'm damn proud of it, too. Guys like you weren't made for my world. You were built for the WWE. And that's a good thing, because guys like you would not have made it in my world. Hey, not with things like this. And a knockoff diamond cutter.
What?
Oh, that's good. My indie pals, well, take a look around. Take a look around backstage. You're surrounded by them. You see, they earned the right to be here in the WWE. They didn't go to their father to get them a job.
Woo!
Oh!
Somebody! Oh!
He needs some milk!
As long as you want to rent a room out in my house, see, I'm the landlord, and rent's due, you son of a.
Welcome to Orsini's Uncensored Mind, and now your host, A.J. Orsini.
How the hell is everybody out there? This is your boy, this is your main man, your host of Orsini's Uncensored Mind. I am A.J. Orsini, and did you hear all that just now? Did you hear all that? Did you hear everything that just took place on freaking SmackDown? Boy, we shooting down here today. That's it, it's getting real. We're getting close, guys. It's finally over. Fastlane is out of the way. That insignificant piece of shit of a show is gone and buried, and we are now, yeah, on the road, baby. We on the motherfucking road to WrestleMania. Yeah. I don't know who this dude is, but just rock it, baby. Yeah, work. If you could, imagine me twerking, because that's what I am doing right now, baby. Ooh, shit, baby, yeah. My printer is plugged in. I am prepared to print them some bitches out. I am prepared to take my ass to the subway, at which point I would connect to a New Jersey Transit train to take my ass to MetLife Stadium. And believe me, when I step into this building, I'm going to feel a hell of a lot better than the way I feel about the occupants of that building. The New York Giants just went ahead and gave away the best player they might have ever had as far as athleticism goes, but I'm actually okay with it. I know you guys don't follow football too much. I did a lot of my life. I'm going to admit I've fallen off the last year or so, but I know quite a bit about my main man here, Odell Beckham Jr., and I'm happy to see that he's going to get an opportunity to go to Cleveland and do exactly what he wants to do, and that's try to be the man. Because that's what he tried to do here. Didn't work out. Kind of a bad locker room guy. I'm kind of okay with him not being here. That's not to say that I'm relying completely on Eli. We've got some moves to make, we've got some things to do, but the fact that they've had the balls to pull the trigger on quite possibly their best player actually does give me hope. Not to sidetrack off of that, but I'm just connecting the dots here as far as the fact that I will be in MetLife Stadium the very next WWE pay-per-view. I'm going to be in the house, so expect a great deal of flooded pictures and videos and all kinds of shit from my social media when that happens, when my wife and I attend the building. We are going to be rocking some Orsini's Uncensored Mind merch when we do. I haven't had a chance to post any pictures. I haven't had a chance to really advertise the way they'll want to advertise, but I can. This literally all fell up into my lap within the last hour or two before I came on here to record, so I'll go ahead and just make the announcement here. I've got another announcement. I made an announcement last week, which I will compound on here. I will update you guys on this contest that I have going on. A lot of shit to discuss. I'm all over the place. Let's stick to what's going on here. First announcement. Okay, so as you guys know, I've been selling a t-shirt as part of the Orsini's Uncensored My Merch situation. All you have to do is go to prowrestlingtees.com/AJOUM. That is where I have been selling my shirts. For those of you who want to support the show, I have a fantastic offer for you guys. Now that we're officially, this is the first episode, now that we're officially on the road to WrestleMania, and I have a WrestleMania-related sale for you guys. That is correct. I guess we'll start Friday. Not tonight. We'll start Friday. I am recording this on Wednesday. Starting Friday, give me some time to edit some stuff up and give you guys the proper information online. But starting this Friday, we will be beginning the WrestleMania t-shirt sale. Now, I'm not selling WrestleMania t-shirts. That's actually a very misleading title. That's a working title. But what basically is going to be is to celebrate WrestleMania, I will be having a sale on my shirts. They will be on sale for $15 as opposed to the usual $20. It will be $15. What would that be? Like a 25% off? That's 25% off, right? 25% off. I'm good at math. 25% off on the t-shirts, not just with any code or anything like that. It's a straight-up purchase between now and the day of WrestleMania. Why is that a big deal? Not just because it's my shirt, but I have done something very different for you guys as well. My shirt that has been for sale on Pro Wrestling Tees, for those of you who aren't familiar, Pro Wrestling Tees is very limited to new users like myself as far as designs and different color schemes and stuff. You get the chance to choose the color of your shirt, but you only really get like one color. I chose the gray. It's a light gray because I liked the way that it looked with the logo. It popped. It was really cool. It's literally one of my favorite shirts I've ever had, and I've had some merch over time. It's one of my favorite designs. It's one of my favorite looks. But this is WrestleMania, so we got to go big. We got to get creative. So what I've done is I have developed I've come up with a different way. I've met some people, shaken a few hands, made a few phone calls, and I've actually had the material sent to me, so I am vouching for it. It's good quality stuff. I have different colors now. Between now and WrestleMania, you'll have your option of getting Orsini's Uncensored Mind, not just in the light gray, which you can still get by going to Pro Wrestling Tees. It's the easiest form if you want to use your credit card or anything like that, any method of payment you wish to have. That's the best one, Pro Wrestling Tees. But the sale's not happening on Pro Wrestling Tees. The sale's happening directly with me. So that's why I wanted to talk to you guys about it before I actually go through with everything that I'm doing. It's going to be through me, through PayPal, I have like access to a bunch of different online pay services. PayPal, what's that, Zelle or whatever the case. There's a bunch of different ways you can do that. Hit me up for the information. No weird websites. You can come directly to the source. You come right to me, and you can get yourself an Orsini's Uncensored Mind. There's two versions of the shirt. There's a men's cut and a female cut, which is also not available on Pro Wrestling Tees. For the few females who have purchased my shirt, they're not really in like girl cut, like the normal girl type shirts. This sale will include female cut. It'll be women's cut. It'll be men's cut. Different color options. I got a list here for you guys. You can now get the Orsini's Uncensored Mind t-shirt in many different colors, including black, dark gray as opposed to the light, which is the one that I had sent to me. I'm going to have a picture up tomorrow or Friday. I'll wait till Friday because if I do it tomorrow, it'll be misleading. So I'll do it Friday. But the point is I got that shirt for myself, so I know for a fact it's good. It's dope. Men's black, dark gray, navy blue, orange, red, and white. Straight white tee with the logo. Those are the color options for the men. Women, will also have many color options. Actually, I think you have more than the men do. You have a women's black tee, green, gray, which is more suited toward the light gray that I had before, but a tad darker. It's kind of in the middle. So let's start over. Black, green, gray, light blue, like a baby blue, pink, red, royal blue, and again, a straight white tee for the ladies. So you don't have to go ahead and buy the men's shirt or the unisex shirt. You can get yourself a lady cut. Any color of your choice. I'll have more of this information. I'll have the specifics up on Friday. So not only will you have the color options, you'll have the size chart, so you'll be able to see exactly where you need to go with your size and which one you should choose from, yada, yada, yada. Again, this is not through the website. This is not through Pro Wrestling Tees. This is, you have to message me directly if you're interested in getting these shirts. Message me directly. We'll talk about how we go about the payment and the shipping stuff, and that way you don't, because I can't put this sale through Pro Wrestling Tees. Pro Wrestling Tees already has like their own little setup. They're built the way that they're built. So if you're interested in getting these tees, let me know. Message me or send me an email, whichever way you want to do it. And that sale, again, is going to be $15 flat. Flat. You're not paying tax. You're not paying shipping. It's on me. $15 straight up is the deal to get your hands on these shirts. Limited time. Limited time between now and WrestleMania. You can do that and get yourself an Orsini's Uncensored Mind t-shirt. My gift to you for the WrestleMania season. Speaking of gifts, let's go back to the announcement I made last week. I expounded upon it a little bit in the video that was released earlier this week. We are doing the Road to WrestleMania contest. The Road to WrestleMania contest. As I said in the video, last year I did an episode leading up to WrestleMania. It was entitled My Personal Journey to WrestleMania. It's one of the most downloaded shows I have ever done. It's one of the most proud I am of my episodes. Like that one episode really does stand out to me as the one where I kind of bare my soul a little bit, get a little personal. Here it is, episode 27, Our Personal Journey to WrestleMania. I entitled it. So this year, I kind of wanted to do something more relates to you guys. I wanted to hear your story. What does WrestleMania mean to you? How important is it to your life? What is your road to WrestleMania? How did you get here? Have you been a fan your entire life? Are you new to the WWE? Whatever the case may be. I wanted to hear your story. And as a reward for that, as a reward for your fandom, your long-term love for the pro wrestling business, and more importantly, WWE's WrestleMania show, I am prepared to give you a slot. You will have a chair and mic, and you will be sitting with me, and here's where we talk about the update, because I didn't have this information last week. I have it now. March 29th is the date. It's a Friday. March 29th is the date. That is the date we will be live on the air. No tape. No special. I mean, I think I'm still going to have an episode for Wednesdays. I'm not going to ruin the Wednesday streaks. I'm going to keep that alive. But I am going to do a live episode. This is going to be for real, live episode. And that episode, if you don't catch it live, although I think that you should, if you don't catch it live, I will be replaying it Sunday, the day of WrestleMania. But be careful. I still advise you to listen to the live show for one huge major reason. The last time I went live, which was the one-year anniversary show, we did that. Everything ran great. Everything ran smooth. And then we ran into some technical difficulties, and we actually, I think, lost like the first 10 minutes of the episode, which is fine. I did a lot of like prep stuff in the first 10 minutes or so, so we really didn't miss much. So predominantly, the episode's still there. But on the off chance something like that happens again, I would advise you guys, please check it out. I believe it's going to be the same information as before, mesnradio.com, and I believe it's going to be the same phone number, which I don't know off the top of my head. I have to look at it again. But I will confirm. Once everything is, because everything's locked in, it's secure. I'm not worried about that. But we haven't logged in a time yet. That's going to be based on studio schedule and how they want to work things out. So once I get a more accurate idea of which studio I'm going to be in particular, because they have many studio rooms. Once we figure out the specifics, you'll start seeing advertisements for the WrestleMania Roundtable, and you'll start to see more or less where we go with that. So that's the Road to WrestleMania contest. Please feel free to enter. Once again, the only way to enter is to contact me, baby. Message, comment, email, the whole shebang. All my social media stuff is listed in the description below. hit me up if you yourself were a worker or anything like that and you don't really feel like you want to spill your guts like that. Promote it. Tell your friends about it. I know everyone has that. Every wrestler has that one friend who would love to do something in wrestling, just doesn't have either the access or the courage to do it on his own. This is an opportunity to get your feet wet. This is a chance to get on live air here. Live air. This is not some shit at my house where we're just sitting around shooting the breeze. This is the real deal, man. So if you really want an opportunity to talk WrestleMania with some people who really fucking know their shit and really can get you excited about the show, this is your chance. I'm giving you your chance to sit with me. Let's bullshit. Let's talk WrestleMania. So that's all the fucking stuff out the way there. We got a lot of business to get to. Now, I referred to Fastlane as a piece of shit show because, as I said before, it's a piece of shit show. There was no fucking reason. I've been saying it for 2 goddamn weeks. No goddamn reason for Fastlane. As a matter of fact, I was so not into the idea of Fastlane, I didn't see it on Sunday. I did not. I had zero interest of seeing that fucking thing on Sunday. So what I actually ended up doing was watching Captain Marvel. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit of Captain Marvel here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to talk a little bit about some other plans that I have in store for the show, including that shit. I'll get to that in a second. But let's go back to Fastlane. Well, let's put a pin in the Captain Marvel deal. Let's get back to Fastlane. Fastlane, on paper, looked like a pretty interesting show. But again, I wasn't interested. I did manage to catch it Monday, I'll say early afternoon, sometime right before I got out of work, and then, you know, toward the end of work, and then on the way home, yada, yada, yada. I found the time, which is the point, to sit down and actually watch this show on the off chance maybe some shit happens on this show that connects the dots, right? It's like watching the shitty movie that's part of a great franchise that you kind of have to just sit through just so you can get to where you want to really go. You know, it's like you love one, you love two, three kind of pissed you off, but I'll watch it because I want to see what happens when we get to four and I don't want to be lost. That's kind of what Fastlane was, or at least that's what I was hoping it was going to be. When I watched it, yeah, complete waste of time. Nothing really happened there of any real substance. All of it was just some dot connecting leading you to the WrestleMania match. Obviously, we all knew Becky Lynch was getting into that match. That's a crying shame how that entire thing has come out. We'll talk more about that later. But you know, the Kofi Kingston deal, they're still really pushing this idea that he's just not good enough. And the promo from Vince McMahon tonight was basically what I've been saying for the last three goddamn weeks. Everything Vince told Kofi, I've said on this show. Everything. And Fastlane did not help. He stood outside that office like a goddamn putz. Why the fuck would he sit outside the office? Who fucking knows? New Day comes, and apparently Big E and Xavier Woods have bigger balls. Maybe that's why I confused the words. Bigger balls than Kofi, apparently. Yeah. As soon as I saw that segment where, like, Big E and Xavier walk over, and they're like, well, what are you doing out here, dude? Come inside. And they fucking walk inside. I said, you know what? That is the epitome. That is the exact picture. If you could put a fucking GIF, okay, in a dictionary, if you can put it there as a visual definition of why Kofi Kingston has never been WWE champion, baby, that is it. That is it. Because Kofi Kingston is the kind of dude who will sit in front of Vince's office for a full fucking hour. And Big E's the kind of dude who will walk up to the fucking door and literally just walk the fuck in. That's the difference between a WWE champion and a non-WWE champion. That's why I wasted my time doing 30 minutes on this on my show. I should have just waited it out and let that shit happen, because that right there is the reason why he's not a WWE champion. He doesn't fucking grab life by the balls. He doesn't fucking go for it. He doesn't have a no-give-a-shit attitude. He cares. He's a company guy. Even when he gets fucked, like he got fucked, he's still a company guy. And even I think that's the inside joke of it, too, because he's sitting outside the door, he being Kofi. They go inside, the three of them. Vince is on the phone. He comes off the phone, and he's pissed. Where have you been? I've been waiting for a full fucking hour for you to come in here. Vince has been waiting for an hour. And Kofi's saying, oh, what do you mean? I've been standing outside. Yeah, asshole. He was waiting for you to do what everybody else fucking does. And has barged the fucking into his office and demand something of him. You didn't demand shit. You didn't do shit. You literally, like an asshole, stood in front of his door for a fucking hour. I felt validated in every fucking thing I have ever said about him. Just from that one, what was that, like 4 fucking minutes of our fucking segment, I felt completely 100% validated. That entire thought process is exactly why he's never been the WWE champion. This entire time, Big E and Xavier have been talking him up and talking him up, and they did it again. They talked him up and talked him up. They did it tonight. They did it on SmackDown last night. They talked him up and they talked him up and they talked him up. I keep saying tonight because I didn't see SmackDown live on Tuesday. I just watched it before I turned it on here Wednesday. But they just talked it up and talked it up and talked it up and talked him up. He doesn't say shit. He finally delivers his big promo tonight. And it wasn't bad. It was a really good promo. But I didn't get a single thing from that where I'm just saying to myself, yep, he's the fucking man. This is the guy we're going forward with. None of it. And it didn't help his case of fucking Fastlane. He gets beat up by the fucking bar. And what makes matters even fucking worse, because remember I said this a little while ago, Kofi was a fucking sub. Remember I said that like last week or 2 weeks ago? Kofi, people have lost track of this so far. He was a sub. He wasn't supposed to be in that goddamn match. Mustafa Ali was. So here we go forward all the way to Fastlane. Kofi gets screwed out of an opportunity for the WWE Championship. Vince does keep to his word, makes the WWE Championship a triple threat match, and puts in Mustafa Ali. And boy, you want to talk about a mixed reaction, or even for some of those fans, just straight hatred and boos, not because they dislike him, but because they really want Kofi. And Mustafa Ali went out there and wrestled his motherfucking ass off. That was a dope-ass triple threat match for the WWE Championship. Mustafa Ali looked like he belonged. It got to the point where people forgot about Kofi. Halfway through, they kind of regained themselves. They started the "We Want Kofi" chant, but they could not boo Ali by the end of that fucking match. 450 to the fucking apron. Tornado DDT from the ring post to the floor. This guy was pulling out all the goddamn stops. And not just Daniel Bryan selling, which is what most of people thought. Kevin Owens taking that poison rama on the top of his head. Everyone bumped for Ali. Everyone's trying to get this guy over, and everyone's trying to get this guy a little bit more light. That gauntlet match, that Elimination Chamber match, was supposed to be Ali's coming out party. And the dude's so fucking gifted, so fucking talented, that he had fate, life, not Kofi. Kofi did not outwork Ali. Kofi did not outperform Ali. Fate took Ali out of those matches and gave Kofi an opportunity. Kofi jumped on it and made the best of it. I respect that. But Ali was the one who was supposed to get that, and we got reminded. So here we go at Fastlane. Kofi gets standing outside of a locker room like a bitch, gets into the ring, gets beaten like a bitch, and then we fast forward to the real WWE Championship match, in which the guy he subbed for thrived. That is not a good combination. People are overlooking it. You can tell by the reaction on SmackDown that people are still behind him. But as a visual, it doesn't look right. None of this looks right. He's been beaten like a fucking drum. Regardless of all those wins he's gotten, Daniel Bryan seems to be the only guy he can get over on, because everybody else has been bitching him out. Him being Kofi Kingston. So Fastlane really didn't offer a whole lot of fucking shit. It just didn't. The Shield reuniting, what the fuck is the point? I already went through that as well. Fourth time is the charm. Who gives a shit? At this point, honestly, a lot of the Shield fans were very emotional. They got a chance to think about it. One of their boys. That's fine. That's cool. You take a minute to fucking get in there and really just say your piece. And they did it again on Raw. They got together. New merch, of course, for a group that's leaving. They got some new merch. So, you know, one last payday, I guess. Fuck it. I don't know if they worked out the numbers on what happens after WrestleMania when Ding leaves, which now I am almost 100% convinced that he is. Because, not just a farewell shit, but I just get this overall I don't give a fuck vibe from this fucking guy. So it's whatever. For everyone saying AEW or CZW or whatever the fucking case, I guarantee you this. He ain't going nowhere tomorrow. That's for sure. He's going to do the WrestleMania show. He's going to go home and he's going to fucking chillax. And he should. A lot of these guys try to capitalize on their heat, you know, trying to capitalize, you know, the freshest WWE releasee or whatever, but Dane's too talented for that. The guys who really are talented, they don't have to go right away. They can take some time and fucking live life like a civilian for fucking once, instead of being that martyr on the fucking road every fucking day. So I see Dean sitting at home, chilling, fucking his wife, watching a few good movies, and kicking back as much alcohol as humanly fucking possible. And all power to him. That's a lifestyle that I want to get behind myself. Absolutely. Fastlane was worthless, piece of shit. But we are now on the road to WrestleMania. And I cannot fucking wait. Like I said, I'm going to be, my tickets are already bought. I'm ready to go. I'm pumped. This is going to be a big deal. You can see it. You can hear it in my voice, folks. That's why I got the contest going. I got new shirts. I got a whole bunch of new shit going on. I want to take a quick second to pat myself on the back. Last week's episode, episode 79. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention to you guys that I would be bequeathing onto you episode 80 with this one. 80. We are inching ever so closely to 100. But last week, episode 79, I debuted a new thing called the Lightning Round. I did 15 topics, 3 minutes each. It has gotten some very, very, very good reviews. A lot of people seem to be really into that idea. I'm going to be honest with you. That's one of my favorite episodes in a long time. And I think it's because of the challenge of it, like to try to get in as much information as I could on the topic in just 3 minutes. Like, I feel comfortable discussing things, but when you put a timer on me, I really got to get creative in what I'm doing. So I really felt it. I never listen to my episodes. Like, never. Like, I never really listen to my episodes. I do them. I go back to listen to them a few times when I want to, like, refer back to something. But never actually go, like, zero to the end, you know? I never really listened to a full hour of my own shit. I listened to that one, though. That one I did listen back to. And, again, the intent was just to kind of get a taste of how it felt and the speed and what I need to do to improve and yada, yada, yada. But to be honest with you, I just felt... It just felt good. It felt right. So there's going to be more of those, definitely. And I think I'm going to start doing them topically. I was kind of all over the place. I think it'd be easier for me if I had like a steady topic that we could just jump from point to point. I don't know. We're playing with it. But that's why I tell you guys, I'm just trying to come up with as much new stuff as I possibly can here. Speaking of new, WrestleMania 35 is going to be coming up. It's going to be here in my backyard, MetLife Stadium up in Northern Jersey. But... they did make the announcement that next year's WrestleMania, WrestleMania 36, will be in Tampa, Florida, the football stadium that houses the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Some of you got a chance to see the logo with the pirate ship and the font and all this other garbage. They've done that for the Buccaneers down there in Tampa, Florida. Been to Florida a few times, never had a chance to go to Tampa. A lot of people pissed off. There are a lot of cities who really are really clamoring to get a fucking WrestleMania. Minnesota's been waiting for fucking forever. From what I understand, they were super close, too, for a while. And they just can't seem to fucking get the job done. Minnesota is the Kofi Kingston of WrestleMania cities. They're just trying. They're a good city. They really are. Good city, good strong numbers, hell of a resume. They're just not WrestleMania material. Minneapolis, Minnesota just can't seem to get on the main card here. They just keep pre-showing these bitches. We'll see what goes on with that. But they did announce that there, and there's been some controversy, not just because it was in Tampa and because other cities have really been vying for an opportunity to do WrestleMania, but there was a press release that leaked or was sent out, whatever the case may be, about terminology. I want to talk about this for a quick second. Terminology. Let's talk about WWE's censorship ideas. I guess it would fall in line of censorship. So what happened was is WWE agreed to do the WrestleMania down in Tampa. There was an agreement with the city as far as, you know, different things, accesses and marches, all kinds of promotional shit. Like they'll do for every fucking city. So I'm assuming these mandates and these orders they're giving Tampa has definitely been given to the other cities. It has to. This isn't the first time they're doing this, but for those of you who didn't hear, they're doing different terminology changes. They've gone to the city, and they've spoken with the mayor and different media outlets and things like that, and they're trying to get people to promote WWE in a certain way. You know, it's not World Wrestling Entertainment, it's WWE. They don't want the wrestling part out there. It's not World Wrestling Entertainment, it's WWE. And it's not the WWE, it's just WWE, and they're not pro wrestlers, they're WWE superstars, and all the shit that we already know. It's not a belt, it's a championship or a title. All the shit that we as fans have been hearing for forever from WWE, and it's really not anything new. But for some reason, people are flipping their shit because they're giving this mandate to media, you know, and they're saying, you know, how dare the WWE, like, how do they, you know, they don't get to dictate how these media outlets do their job and blah, 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 blah. And I have to, once again, humbly disagree. I think the WWE is more than well, it's more than in the right in this situation to be branded or promoted in the way in which they wish to be. And to be honest with you, any company that doesn't do this is a fucking idiot. Because if you've got the capability, if you've got the upper hand to be promoted, to be pushed into the eyes of the general public, if you've got a chance to get your brand out there and be in control of the narrative, you would be a fucking moron not to do it. If you're in charge of the way that you are seen, if you have a chance to have leverage over an entire fucking city like WWE would be in this situation. Remember, folks, they don't go to the cities come to them. That's how WrestleMania happens now. It's a lottery. It's like the fucking Olympics or the Super Bowl site. That's what WrestleMania is. These cities bide. They bid in for a chance to get WrestleMania and their city. You know why they do that? Because WWE generates fucking money. WWE is a once-a-year stimulus package for any city that it touches. That's why the same cities always seem to get it, because they're always willing to give up the most to get it. It's like having the best gaggle of fucking, like a black book of women in your at your disposal. Yeah, you're going to try to mix it up every once in a while, but you've got your favorites, your New Orleans, your New Jerseys, your Miami, Floridas. You've got they're going to be heading over to the West Coast soon, no doubt about it. Of course, Texas is always a big hotbed for them. You know, you got Houston. I know they're trying to get back to Dallas at some point. That was a big-ass gate for them. But they always try these different things. They always try to mix it up, but they always wind up at the same places because these are the people who understand the value of having a WWE. WWE feels comfortable with these people because they've done good business with them before in the past. So if Tampa wants to stay on the good list, they will do what they're fucking told to do. That's business. That's how that works. If you've got a chance to control the narrative, it's like one of those things, well, any press is good press, like bad press. You know, you get some bad press. Any press is good press. Not when you attain a certain level. When you attain a certain level, bad press is bad for business. Bad. So if you have a chance to control the narrative, control how people are getting information about your company, you have to be a fucking moron to not do it. To absolutely not do it. And it goes into the same. If you haven't been following my show, I'm telling you, I'm very pro-business. I really am. For those of you people who argue the morality of things and the ethics of things, you are more than welcome to feel that way. I would never downplay anybody for deciding their life based on those values. I don't. At least, I'll tell you this. I base my life on those things. I don't base my business decisions off of those things. Business and life are two different things. You cannot have morals and be a successful businessman. It does not exist. It can't. Now, again, it depends on your level of what you feel success is. You know, if you've got the little shop at the end of the street with the lights barely on and you've been running for 10 or 15 years, you know, that might be successful to you. To the guy who's running Pepsi, that is not a level of success. So if you want to be a millionaire and you want to be a billionaire, that's the way to fucking do it. That's why I'm not a millionaire and a billionaire, because, like I said, I run my life through morals and value and ethics. But if you're going to be a successful businessman, those things either don't exist or they're very heavily damaged. And Vince McMahon is one of the most successful people on the planet. So it just goes to show you right there that ethics are not a really big fucking deal for certain people. That's why, like I said last week, they didn't have Evolution, but we're back in Saudi Arabia for two more shows. You're goddamn right we are, because we signed a goddamn deal with them to do it, and we're going to go. That's it. You'd be a fool to turn down those opportunities. The same way with the Fox deal. Well, why would you lock yourself into a broadcasting network when you've got all these different outlets in the streaming service? money. That's the whole that's the name of the game, folks. You can have love, you can have passion, you can have a really comfortable netting place in your place of employment, but at the end of the day, it's about money. It's the only reason to go to work unless you're doing work that you really enjoy, which, for the record, not everyone gets to do. It's a very low percentage of people. Realistically, think about this. A very low percentile of people who actually get to do for a living what they want to do. For the most part, the majority are all stuck in places doing a bunch of shit they really don't want to fucking do. So if you're going to be that person, if you're going to do the job you don't want to do, get fucking paid. That way you can live the life you want to live outside of your shitty job. That's kind of how the game is played. Okay? So for all these people who are out there, the WWE, how dare you put these people in this position to... Bitch, you better say what needs saying, or we will close up shop. We will take our millions and millions, possibly even billions when you consider the long-term effect of what the WWE does to the economy, and we will ship that sumbitch elsewhere. You know who's in the wing waiting for Tampa Bay to not do this right? You know who would love to hear Tampa Bay media say, oh, they're fighting for the WWE Championship belt or the WWE. Minneapolis is waiting. Because you know what? Minneapolis would be more than happy to get on both knees, comfortable pillow or not, and swallow deep down into their fucking throat every single mandate the WWE has about media and the WWE. They would bend over willingly with a balled up sock in their mouth and give up their ass for the WWE to go up to Minneapolis, Minnesota and give them that big ass, thick ass stimulus package that WWE loves to just shove into the back door of all these cities. They would love it. So for those of you who are going, oh, well, how dare the WWE? They have every fucking right. And if you were a company that generated millions and billions of dollars, you should too. You should definitely want to do those things. I'm not going to put it past anybody for any reason. The name of the game, baby, is money. Moolah. That is the name of the game, folks. And if you're not trying to win the game, well, goddamn it, what are you trying to do? You're just hanging around, taking up space. Get paid, bitches. Get paid.
JRCD here, and every Wednesday at 9 p.m. by going to ajoum.podbean.com, you guys get to hear my silky, smooth, sexy voice. And I'm going to tell you guys now that as sexy as I sound, I can tell you I am even sexier to look at. And you guys can check out Orsini's Uncensored Mind audio clips, video exclusives, announcements, the whole deal by heading over to YouTube. That's right, we have an official YouTube account that you can check up on and catch exclusives by going to youtube.com/AJOrsini96host. You click in that, and you can catch all of the Orsini goodness, and you get to see all of this beauty as well. I don't just sound good, folks. I look damn good, too. And that's youtube.com/AJOrsini96host.
And speaking of big business, speaking of making billions upon billions of dollars, Disney has done it again, folks. And now, just a little while ago, we were talking about finally being on the road to WrestleMania and getting past that pesky little fast lane pay-per-view. We're not only currently on the road to WrestleMania, but as of last Friday, we are currently on the road to Avengers Endgame, baby. Avengers Endgame, which will be out, I believe, April 27th. I'm going to double check that here. I know it's the 27th, but I'm just trying to... I think it's a Friday, right? These things usually come out on Friday. So, 26th. Yes, April 26th. That is when the movie will be coming out. Before we get to Endgame, we had to get to Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel was like the fast lane of the MCU. We had to get through that just so we can set up for the big, big, big finale here for Avengers Endgame. For those of you who have followed the show, you guys know I am a huge Marvel guy, huge comic book guy. I've done a lot of things on the show relating to the movies and the shows and things like that. I did a comic book week leading up to the release of Infinity War, I believe. It was also Comic-Con stuff going on around that time. So, yeah. This year, I'm doing it again, folks. That's kind of one of the announcements I wanted to make as well. That week, I'm going to pull that back up on the calendar here because I want to make sure I get my numbers right. So, like I said, Avengers will be coming out the 26th. I will be beginning comic book week on the 19th. April 19th, I will be beginning another comic book week. We'll be discussing all things MCU. That's right, we'll be talking MCU. I did comic book week before, and I was all over the map. I encompassed Marvel, DC, Image. We were all over the place. We were talking Comic-Con. We were all over the place. This time around, as preparation for the ending of the, you know, the MCU as we know it here, I'm pretty sure the MCU is going to continue to go after Endgame. But Endgame, according to everyone who's in the know, everyone who's a part of this project is telling us this is the end of the MCU that we all grew up with and love so much. So we're going to commemorate it with a full week starting April 19th on my social media, on Friday on social media and on anywhere, anything involved with Orsini's Uncensored Mind is going to be very heavily related to the MCU. We're going to do countdowns. We're going to have discussions about everything. That episode that airs that week, that would be Wednesday the 24th, which would be at least 2 days. And I know sometimes people do early viewings, so it could be you could see the movie as early as Thursday. But that Wednesday, the 24th, will be a comic book discussion. Excuse me. I keep saying comic book, but it's really going to be MCU-centric. So I'm going to get rid of the whole comic book deal, and it's just going to be MCU week. How about that? Because I keep saying comic book, but it's very misleading. I just want to talk about the MCU stuff to get ready for Endgame. So we're going to be that's what we're going to do. MCU week. It's going to be MCU week from the 19th to the 26th. And we will do an MCU episode on the 24th. I have not decided yet if that'll be a roundtable or a special guest. The last time I did a comic book week, I had 4 guests planned. 1 showed up. So we're going to try it again this year. again, that episode will be on April 24th. I'm trying to see what number would that be. What number would that be? It's March. This is 80 here. So 81, 82. Oh, my roundtable is going to be 83. Holla. Then we're here for 84, 5, 6, 7, 87. Okay, so that's probably going to be around 8. I'll update everybody. But around episode 87, we will do MCU week leading up to the final, that we know of anyway, final Avengers film, Avengers Endgame. 11 years worth of story. Culminating in one gigantic 3-hour blockbuster. Lots to unravel, lots to unpack, lots to discuss, and there's much to discuss with Captain Marvel. I'm not going to go too deep into this, into the actual film. For those who have not seen it, I will do the unthinkable, folks. Orsini will be spoiler-friendly. I will not go deep into the actual film, give you guys a chance to see it. Although most of you did. I mean, they broke damn near every fucking opening week record you can possibly have. And that's where the conversation will steer, as a matter of fact. I won't get into specifics about the film. I'm going to let you guys get a shot to watch it beforehand. But I will say this. I was bombarded. Okay? Bombarded. Beaten over the head, if you will, for several months about the whole ordeal of Captain Marvel and its fans and the MCU fans and everyone looking up the trailers, calling it garbage, not being interested. It's bullshit. This movie doesn't look good. It just looks boring. It just looks boring. It's not a good film. Right? I heard it for fucking forever. Now, I watched it. I sat back. I registered it. It ain't the best MCU film. But it damn sure ain't the worst. It damn sure ain't the worst. And for the record, it got the job done. It introduced us to a character that will be played much heavier along the way. I hate to break it to you, But a lot of the first movies from these franchises were not very good. I'm not a huge fan of the first Captain America, to be honest with you. But it did exactly what it needed to do. It introduced me to the character that they wanted me to get attached to. That way, when the sequel came out, I was really ready for it. Because the first movies are always the origins. We don't really get to see full throttle, you know, characters until at least the second film. As a matter of fact, and we'll get more into this when we do MCU Week, after everything that's come out, I still stand on Winter Soldier being my favorite MCU movie out of the whole fucking ordeal. And this is coming from a guy that wasn't that huge on the first one. I was not that huge in the first one. The first one was okay, like at best. It was an okay film. It was nice. It was just a nice, cute film. That was not a fart, by the way. I just pushed a bar stool chair out of the way here and it made a noise. If I farted, I would own up to it. I would brag about it, actually. There would be an ad on Craigslist and people would pay me, they'd PayPal me money so I could send them audio clips of my farting. I'm not ashamed of my game. It's just a chair. I'm being honest with you. And honestly, this movie was not as bad as people were trying to make it out to be at all. That's why I keep telling people, go for yourself. If you genuinely see a trailer and you're like, no, this is balls, this is garbage, I don't want to see it, all right, fine. But at least that's you making the decision, I'm not interested in this film. If the only reason you're not interested in this film, or your only reason why you're trying to convince yourself not to see it, is because other people didn't like it, go fuck yourself. Do yourself a favor, give it a fucking try. Go watch the film, see if you fucking enjoy it. See if you fucking enjoy it. Stop listening to the fucking masses. They don't know what they're talking about. 9 times out of 10, these fucking people miss. Every fucking time. The internet is the worst fucking place to get ideas for literally anything. That's why things like Yelp and Google reviews and all kinds of shit. We live in a world where you can go to a fucking 5-star hotel. Go. You can spend 7 days, right? 7 days, 5-star service. Everything is going good to go. And the maid comes in, changes your linens, and changes your fucking towels, and all the stuff that's supposed to happen. The last day, right before you're supposed to leave, they give you a bad batch of towels, right? I don't know. They got it mixed up. It was already wet. It's just weird. And then they go on their phone, and they give the place 3 stars, 2 stars. You know, it's like the whole thing went down. All of a sudden, you just had 6 great days of excellent service, and all of a sudden now the place is a piece of shit because they got one fucking thing wrong. That's just the world that we fucking live in. It's just the fucking world that we live in. There's everyone and their fucking mother has an opinion about a bunch of shit, and they don't know how to close their fucking mouth. That's why the WWE does the shit that it does now. I'm going to get into that in just a second. I'm going to get into that. Let's finish with this Captain Marvel shit. You need to understand that people are going to have their opinion, but you need to generate it yourself. You need to generate it yourself. You need to be able to go out. You need to be able to make an educated guess based on the teases and the trailers that you've seen, whether or not this is the kind of movie that I want to see. Because there's been movies where I've seen trailers and I go, I'm not really interested. And then I'll catch it on TV or whatever, like at HBO, like it's finally at HBO or Showtime, and I enjoy it. Edge of Tomorrow is one of those movies. The Tom Cruise movie with Emily Blunt when he keeps dying over and over and over again. I saw that trailer. I thought it was garbage. I wanted nothing to do with that. And then I was sitting on my couch one day, completely fucking sober. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even on the couch. My wife's on the couch. I was putting together an IKEA bookshelf when that fucking movie was on. And I was totally fucking into it. I liked it. It was a pretty dope film. See, but that's me getting into my own head. I don't let other people fucking dictate to me what it is I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do. That's just dumb. And I would suggest anybody who's been doing that to fucking knock it off. Grow up. Go watch the fucking movie for yourself. There's going to be a lot of stuff we will discuss with this movie when the time comes. I'm going to give people an opportunity to see it before I really start getting into it. So I'm trying to be respectful here. Normally, I don't give a fuck about that. It's, you know, spoilers. To me, spoilers don't really exist. I've been through that before. You know, if the movie's been out, like for instance, the movie came out Friday, it's Wednesday, right? So that's Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. 5 fucking days. Now, I know realistically there's still a really great chance that somebody hasn't seen it. It's only been 5 days. But there's definitely been more than enough people to fucking discuss it. But I digress. I'm trying to be the nice guy here. So I will hold off on my Captain Marvel review. I will just mention it so I can get it out there about all the other shit, about the fan pressure and all that other fucking garbage that people do on the motherfucker. Listen, do your own fucking thing, man. Just do your own fucking thing. Stop listening to these fucking people. All right? One of the biggest storylines, we're going to go back to wrestling for just a second here. I'm going to save that MCU stuff for the big episodes, all right? Back to wrestling for just a second here. One of the biggest fucking situations going on with the WWE right now is, to me, it's still a toss-up, but they've been talking about it for weeks now. They've been calling the triple threat match Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, and Ronda Rousey the main event of WrestleMania. They've been talking about it over and over and over. This match is going to be the main event. It's the main event. It's the main event. It's the main event. It's the main event. Their definition of main event varies from time to time. They could say main event is in the last match. They could say it's a main event match and then like fucking open with it. Who fucking knows, right, how this is going to go? We won't know until we get to the fucking show how this is really going to go. But I will say this about this storyline. I'm going to keep this brief because there's something else that I want to discuss before I go off the air. I'm going to keep this brief. But here's the deal. Because at the WrestleMania Roundtable, I'm going to go in on this shit. I really am. But there's a word. The best way that I can describe this entire feud leading into WrestleMania. Because it's supposed to be the main event. Thus, it's supposed to be the matchup that brings people to the building. This is the one, right, that supposedly drew the house. Right? This is the one that everyone paid to see. They're going to come and see this. The word that I'm going to use to describe this is convoluted. Okay? Convoluted. Definition. Adjective. Extremely complex and difficult to follow. What the fuck has been happening in this storyline? Now, to be fair, before I get into this, I still feel like it's supposed to be the main event. I still feel that way. I still feel it should be the main event. But by God, if I'm feeling that way, it's probably because I'm fighting through the garbage. Their promos and their in-ring is strong enough to get past all this bullshit booking that we've been seeing between Becky and Charlotte, to the point where here just last night on SmackDown, Becky was making fun of the situation. First, I win the championship, right? And then I lose the championship without ever getting beat. I get a rematch for it, and yeah, I tapped out to it. But then I go on to win the Royal Rumble. I get suspended. Then I get reinstated. Then I get arrested, and then suspended again. And then reinstated, only to be thrown into a match that I didn't belong in because I was supposed to be in the match in the first place. Only to get beat up by the champion and basically be handed an opportunity. That was the chair again, not me. Be handed an opportunity to go to WrestleMania and triple threat in a triple threat stipulation. The best way I can describe how we got here is they were trying really hard to get the fans to forget that this was supposed to be a singles match. They put Charlotte in the driver's seat specifically so that people would become accustomed to the idea. Okay? Charlotte has been in this match pretty much since the beginning. It's Becky that's been on again, off again. And that's perfect psychology because they know they want Becky in this match. And they want Becky in this match so goddamn bad that it will give you the impression that the fans would be willing to deal with Charlotte if they could just get Becky into the fucking match. And here we are. Becky's in the match. And I kind of feel like this is still a main event, but it's a main event in spite of the way that it's been booked, as opposed to it's the main event because of the way it's been booked. It almost feels like in spite of everything that they do, they never seem to get out of their own way here. And they just keep hitting their head against the ceiling over and over and over and over and yet still reaching the fucking destination. I still feel like this program is the top program in the entire fucking company. The promo package for this match is going to be fucking sick at WrestleMania. Sick. I can't wait for it, to be honest with you. But this whole fucking thing has been miserable to fucking follow. It's a pain in the ass, to be honest with you. A gigantic pain in the ass. But we'll get more into that. I'm just dropping breadcrumbs right now. We're going to get more into that stuff down the line as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania. The road is just beginning, folks. Pretty much just beginning. All right, we have one last topic that we want to talk about here, and then we're going to go ahead and hit the road. And I did a big thing on WWE Elimination Chamber because it's the big pay-per-view, right? I didn't do anything for Fast. I didn't even fucking acknowledge Fastlane, to be honest with you. Did I even fucking discuss it on the show? I don't think so. I don't think I discussed a fucking thing Fastlane related until just now, and because Fastlane is finished. So I don't know about all that. But I will say this. There, I told people that I was going to start getting outside of the box here and not just be WWE-related stuff, that if there were any other big shows coming up, that I would talk about it and try to get as in-depth with you people as I possibly could and start reaching out to different types of wrestling. Start doing more indie stuff. Start doing more optional stuff, because there's more to pro wrestling than to WWE. I will admit that. You know, it's more to wrestling than Ring of Honor. There's more to wrestling than Impact Wrestling. There's more to wrestling than AEW, which is a lot in it by itself. But they have the PWG stuff. They have MLW's coming out. Evolve's coming out. I mean, there's a whole lot of different options out here as far as professional wrestling goes. Rev Pro is kicking up. Progress is kicking up. Obviously, there's New Japan stuff, but there's just so many different avenues. AAA has talent coming out of Mexico all over the place. There's a lot of different venues and different avenues to catch your wrestling fix, so to speak. So, having said all that, there is no WWE pay-per-view coming up besides WrestleMania. So I thought it would be nice to discuss another big show coming up that's not WWE. And it came to my attention, and I did some research on this. The next really big wrestling show, in my opinion, Ring of Honor. I have not done very much Ring of Honor on this show. It's by design. I just haven't had too much time to really spend researching and following and keeping up with Ring of Honor. They have weekly television. They have, I don't say bi-weekly, not bi-weekly, bi-monthly, but their pay-per-view scatter. You know, it's not very consistent. That's the problem with doing indie or lower-tier television programming. It's because it's very hard to watch consistently. You know, I either have to stream it, or I have to download it, or I have to try to find that channel on somebody else's fucking cable, because it's not on mine. So it becomes very hard. Anyway, Ring of Honor does have the next big show coming up. As a matter of fact, it's just in a few days from when this is being released. Friday and Saturday, it's a double night of the Ring of Honor 17th anniversary show. I cannot believe 17 years of Ring of Honor, man. This is huge. I'm so happy for this company. I've been a fan. I fell off. But I will admit to being a fan way in the early beginning, man. I traveled with, I used to catch in their shows. And, man, me and my wife always had a ticket when they were in town. It was always a big deal. It was a happening, as the great Monsoon would say. But, yes, let's give you the details first. First of all, this show is going to be a TV taping out in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's taking place the 15th, and it's taking place the 15th and the 16th. There you go. It's going to be a double night of hardcore professional wrestling action, baby. If you happen to be in the Nevada area, these bell times are rather early. I think it's 6 p.m. both nights. It's at Sam's Town Live, 5111 Boulder Highway, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89122, obviously in the United States. I don't know why they put that. That's fucking stupid. But yes, that's taking place over in Las Vegas. They have all kinds of ticket and pay-per-view information on the website, ROHWrestling.com. You can check that out over there. Just real quick to run down the talent and the matches for the card. Real quick, how much time do I have? Okay, I got a few minutes here. All right, yeah, let's get into this. Night one of the 17th anniversary show, we've got a matchup that's been brewing for a while here. The Briscoes, Jay and Mark Briscoe, defending the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship against Villain Enterprises, Brody King, and PCO. This matchup was for the Tag Team Championship, but also the winners will advance to the G1 Supercard in Madison Square Garden to face the IWGP Tag Team Champions, the Guerrillas of Destiny, in a winner-take-all match. Both championships, the IWGP Tag Team titles and the Ring of Honor Tag titles, will be on the line in that matchup. Gotta say the Briscoes are favorites in that, but Brody King and PCO, are those up and coming? Let's see. Well, PCO's, it's hard to say PCO's the up and coming. Of all the people on these two shows, PCO is the only one I think that's been in the garden. So, should be interesting. Should be interesting. Again, folks, this is night one. Jonathan Grisham versus Silas Young in a one-on-one contest. Lifeblood will be represented as Mark Haskins and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams will team up to take on members of the Kingdom, TKO Ryan and Vinny Marsaglia. The Ring of Honor World Television Championship will be on the line as the big man, Jeff Cobb, defends his championship against Shane Taylor. The Women of Honor World Championship will be on the line as former champion Kelly Klein looks to regain her championship from the woman who beat her in Mayu Iwatani. I believe she's from Stardom as well. A lot of people getting ready. The rumors, I don't know if they're for sure. I have to do my homework here, but Stardom coming to the U.S., big possibility. Mayu, of course, big star over there. That's a nice little tie-in. Ring of Honor really trying to do some big business here. That's the chair again, folks. I keep moving it closer to me, and then I push it away. That's how that happens. Kenny King will go against the villain, Mighty Skrull. Bandito and Rush will go one-on-one on this show as well. A lot of people looking forward to that one. They've signed a bunch of new talent recently. Bandito, very sought-after performer. Signs with Ring of Honor, goes against Rush. And, of course, for the Ring of Honor World Championship, Matt Taven, who just recently had his version of the Ring of Honor Championship destroyed against no longer an argument. There's no longer an argument. There's no longer a discussion about it. Matt Taven will be taking on the greatest Ring of Honor World Champion of all time, Jay Lethal. There's no doubt. We will have to come back to that. I'll put a pin in that, and we'll have that conversation. In my mind, in my book, and I know a lot of arguments shouldn't start that way, but I will gladly present the evidence to support this case. Jay Lethal is the greatest Ring of Honor champion of all time. If you've watched long enough, you probably feel the same way. If not, and you have a rebuttal, I'd love to hear it, because man, oh man, no one carries that company the way Jay Lethal carries it. So that's night one, folks. All that you just heard is night one. That's amazing. But no, we're not done. As night two, we will also continue on with the action. Dalton Castle and the boys will compete in six-man tag team action against New Japan's Young Lions, Clark Connors, Carl Fredericks, and Alex Coughlin. I haven't had a chance to really catch up on these youngsters here. We'll get a chance this weekend here at night two as they go against Dalton Castle and the boys. Hot Sauce Tracy Williams representing Lifeblood in singles action against Kenny King. Rush goes against Mark Haskins. That's going to be a dope match. I actually can't wait to see that one. That's going to be good. I'm going to try to see all these matches. I haven't actually sat down and watched Ring of Honor in full. I've seen some matches. I'm not completely out of the loop. But I haven't seen bell-to-bell, card-to-card, match-to-match in a long fucking time. And the 17th anniversary sounds like a good place to start. The Briscoes, depending on what their situation is with the tag team titles, they will regardless be in action against Jeff Cobb and Willie Mack. The winners will qualify in the 2019 Crockett Cup. I am just learning about this today, the Crockett Cup. I will have to look into that because that sounds awesome. The Crockett Cup is back. Bandito will go one-on-one against the new assignee of Ring of Honor, PJ Black, formerly Justin Gabriel of the Nexus of WWE. He has signed a deal with Ring of Honor. The Ring of Honor has signed some pretty major talent recently. They've gone under the radar with some of the people they've signed up. And, of course, we've got a big, big six-man tag team matchup for the Ring of Honor World six-man tag team championship. The Kingdom will be defending their titles. Matt Taven, TKO Ryan, and Vinny Marsaglia against Villain Enterprises, Marty Scurll, Brody King, and PCO. Those are your two nights of heart-pounding, nonstop Ring of Honor professional wrestling action, night one and night two. Speaking of professional wrestling action, before we go off the air here, I also want to let you know, I recently put up a Facebook status about trying to get my hands on an updated list. A list of all of the wrestling shows that will be taking place around my area, New Jersey, New York, during the WrestleMania time period. I have that list. I am going to put something together for you guys. I hope you will enjoy. And more importantly, I hope you find useful. I hope you find this useful. I'm going to be putting together the Orsini's Guide to WrestleMania Weekend. I'm going to be putting that together for you guys. It's going to be a video, actually, on the YouTube channel. That's why I played the commercial for the YouTube thing, so you guys can check it out. I'm going to be putting up different videos, letting you guys know where all the fucking action is, where you can catch wrestling in this area that Wednesday, that Thursday, that Friday, that Saturday, that Sunday, and that Monday, and that Tuesday. Some of those days may combine if they're short enough and there's not a whole lot of shows. But I know Friday and Saturday in particular are fucking heavy, heavy. There's too many fucking shows, to be honest with you. But I like the idea of having a lot of shows because it gives people options to see things they may not normally see. This is going to be like kids in a candy store, guys. This WrestleMania week is going to be huge. I can't wait to be a part of it myself, but I will do my part to make sure that you guys have the best information so that you guys can make the best decisions you can on which shows you want to see. I have friends who are literally going to already told me they've got tickets. They're going to like 7 different fucking shows. All of these shows, I promise you, there's going to be a lot of indie shows coming up this weekend, WrestleMania weekend. They will not break the bank. Okay, you're going to have a very good opportunity to see as many shows as you can, to see as much talent as you can. I mean, you're going to OD on pro wrestling for that weekend. And I want to be the dealer. Okay, I want to be the one that gets you your fix. I can't wait to get this information out to you guys so you guys can pick the best option for yourself. So I'm going to rock this YouTube commercial one more time so you can get a chance to get a feel for where all those videos are going to be. And I will catch your ass down the road, as the great Stone Cold would say. So episode 80 was a great time. And catch me very soon with a bunch more new shit, guys. So thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, thank you for enjoying episode 80. AJ Orsini here, and every Wednesday at 9 p.m. by going to ajoum.podbean.com, you guys get to hear my silky, smooth, sexy voice. And I'm going to tell you guys now that as sexy as I sound, I can tell you I am even sexier to look at. And you guys can check out Orsini's Uncensored Mind audio clips, video exclusives, announcements, the whole deal, by heading over to YouTube. That's right, we have an official YouTube account that you can check up on and catch exclusives by going to youtube.com/AJOrsini96host. You click in that and you can catch all of the Orsini goodness, and you get to see all of this beauty as well. I don't just sound good, folks, I look damn good too. And that's youtube.com/AJOrsini96host.
Welcome to our dirty show. This is Ocean Senses Mine. If you listen to my daddy show, he should buy me toys. He's a good daddy.